Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 581. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays. What is up, good sir?
You got that wrong. It's the asshole Jeremy Mays, as I was accused of before this got started. nothing like having your oldest friend go, man, you started to sound like you're on the side of the asshole. Like, what? First, it's been over 20 years we've known each other. Would that be a surprise? Second, how the hell do you think I'm on one side of an argument I would never be on?
I don't know. It just sounded like it was going there.
Listen, Kevin's one of these pussy liberals who thinks the police shouldn't have tanks. And all I said was, of course they should, to kill pussy liberals. So I don't understand where... I don't understand where this gets misconstrued. Clearly on the same side of the subject. So, and then he starts saying, it's not all lives matter. And I said, yes, Kevin, it is all lives matter. I don't know where you've been living. And more importantly, what about blue lives matter? Huh? How about that?
The Smurfs do matter. I mean, they really need a reboot.
Did you ever watch the Smurfs? I'm being dead serious. I guess I should say.
I'm not sure if I probably watched the Smurfs back in the day a little bit, but I don't think I was big into the Smurfs.
No, because you shouldn't be. As a kid, I'm like, okay, I like collecting the toys, because they were just like the little PCV. Just the non-moving ones. So they're kind of hard to find. So it was like kind of like a scavenger hunt. But then you watch that show, and oh, my God. That song. Like, I understand why Gargamel wanted to kill them all the time. It's just terrible. They're terrible. Most of them are awful. Like, one is called Vanity. And they're like, the guy that takes care of himself, which I'm pretty sure he was supposed to be the gay one.
Yes. I would say that.
Yeah. So, anyways. Yeah. So blue lives, all lives matter.
Yeah.
They should have tanks. And I don't know why they don't have bombs yet. So.
Yeah, I mean, they have tear gas already. I mean, why not just upgrade to bombs?
Oh, don't I know. So. But no, that was, well, no one gave the order here in Charlotte for them to use it. So that makes it okay. And I went, wait, what? That's actually what some independent, I don't know if it's independent, whoever it was. Well, there's no evidence of any order being given to the Charlotte police to use tear gas on the crowd. Okay, cool. They still did. So now who's held accountable? Who were the rogue officers that went ahead and did this then? It just kind of went away after that. No one answered the question. So.
Yeah, somehow this is not surprising, unfortunately.
Stupid ass, man, whatever. So. But I'm wearing a mask, so that's nice. I finally gave in.
Oh, yeah.
All lives matter. See?
I did not have to, my venture out today did not actually involve one at a disc golf course.
I had to wear one to go to Target for the first time in I don't know how long. And it was fine, whatever. But my mom made us masks, and they're nice.
Yeah.
The one is so heavy, though.
Oh.
Like, it's made out of cloth, and it's thick. So when I put it on, I had to go to the chiropractor yesterday, and it was a small walk-in, and it was stifling.
Maybe I occasionally forget that even though the temperatures are warm for Ohio, I still live in Ohio.
True. Yeah. Well, today was only 74 degrees in the morning with 89% humidity. So, you know.
I think we're at least in the 50% humidity range, so that shit isn't too bad.
It went, we had literally 3 days of 65, 69 degree weather. The next day was 89 degrees, and it's been 89 to 100 almost every day since.
Ugh.
With ridiculous humidity. And it's like, every year does this, every year we complain, and every year stays the same. And it's like, I don't know, you know, it's my own fault. It's people's fault. But yeah, that cloth mask is a little much.
Yeah, I was glad that my my sister-in-law has been the one supplying us, and her first one is like the cloth like that, and she sent us an updated one with a lighter, more breathable one. I'm like, oh my god, like this, the make of things does make a difference.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, I turned on El Rey to watch some old Lucha Underground while we're doing this.
Yeah.
Starting next weekend, they're going to have Lucha Libre movies. So I don't know if you get El Rey or not, but...
Oh, no. Since I downgraded to WoW, I'm glad I did because I just saw that DirecTV's prices just went up again.
Oh, wow.
So, I am now legitimately saving myself money.
Well, you saw YouTube TV went up 30%.
Oh, yeah.
It's as much as cable now.
Yeah, I did. I was like, oh my god, like, that's a huge jump.
Yes. And their whole thing was TV without the filler. And now you see, like, they've got some ridiculous channels. The one that stuck out to me was BET Her. And I went,
what?
What? Exactly. Like, wait, what's that? And I guess it's BET for women. Oh. I don't know anyone that even knows that exists. Like, why are these stations around?
I keep on wondering. I'm like, there's that, I know that it's not really possible, but, like, there's so much content out there that I'm sure there's shit that is existing that I have got zero clue about.
Yeah. Well, it's like, even El Rey, like, I say that about BET Her, but even El Rey, most people don't know it exists, and they're like, what's it for? Well, because Robert Rodriguez was offered his own TV channel, and he's like, okay, that's why, so... It doesn't have to, like, have a meaning or a purpose behind it. It just has to exist, I guess.
Yeah. But
why it exists is the other part. I'm like, huh? Anyways, yeah.
Just for Lucha. It exists for Lucha Underground.
Man, I started catching back up on the season, the last season, because I missed it.
Uh-huh.
I missed this show. This is so much fun. The matches are just crazy. And it's funny looking at, like, everybody and where they are now. So, like, P.J. Walker's in this. He's in... Not P.J. Walker. P.J. Black. He's in Ring of Honor. Jeremiah Crane, who is... Sami Callihan. He's in Impact. And then the Mac in this is Willie Mack. He's in Impact. So, like, it's just... All these guys went somewhere else. And I'm looking at this going... Man, you guys couldn't have done something more? Like, what happened?
They definitely had the talent there. I mean, because Ricochet was there, if I'm not mistaken.
Prince Puma, yeah.
Yeah, Matt Cross was there.
Oh, yeah, Brian Cage?
Oh, yeah, Brian Cage. Is it Ivelisse or Ivelisse?
Ivelisse, well, I guess she just went back to Mexico.
Yeah, but I mean, I've seen that she's still wrestling out there, and I mean, that's at least, you know, someone at least decent at wrestling. Yeah, they really seem to have a nice roster there, and it would have been nice, because it did sound like, well, I mean, they're kind of doing the WWE cinematic matches before the WWE even thought about those.
Yeah. Well, hell, King Cuerno is El Fantasmo, or...
Oh.
I wanted to say Pablo Escobar, because I hate his name. what's his name? I know his last name's Escobar.
I don't remember. Yeah, I'm kind of... Well, yeah. Oh, I need to... I guess
he was King Cuerno in this.
I do have... although, he wasn't at the Great American Bash. I think they just had a...
Yeah, he was. He had the whole segment where Drake Maverick came out.
Oh. Why?
And Breezango came out and saved him.
Oh, I completely... you know what? I missed that. I really did miss that.
I think it was right before the main event, if I remember right.
Yeah, I must have fast-forwarded past that.
Man, I'll tell you what, Triple H steals those Mexican stars, and...
But you are correct with the ordering, by the way.
Okay. But I guess we can just talk... I know we're going to talk about Fyter Fest, but real quick, since we're on it, that dude's money. Even with the mask, I was like, okay, it's just another, unfortunately, generic guy, because... I know in NXT, it's for a different audience, supposedly, and you're just supposed to know who these people are and what they do. Oh. So when El Fantasmo comes in, it's supposed to be like, oh, look at this. Okay. Well, the second he takes off, like, the mask, and you're like, oh, all right. And then he's got Joaquin Phoenix and the other guy.
Yeah, Raul Mendoza.
That's it, yeah. Who was a nobody. I know he was on a lot, but he was a jobber.
Yeah.
Joaquin was actually kind of Joaquin Wild, right?
Yeah, Joaquin Wild.
Yeah. He was kind of doing nothing. Then he got hurt.
Yeah.
He had his cool little stable, and he looks like a star. Like, of the Mexican wrestlers that they have, he speaks the best English.
Oh, which only, yeah.
Which will only serve him well come later. I mean, right or wrong, that's how it's going to be. So I'm impressed with him, though. I like it.
Yeah, it's almost kind of weird that they've let the Japanese wrestlers loose more than they've let the Spanish-speaking wrestlers loose. Not that I've heard Andrade speaking in Spanish quite a bit. although, what's his name? Angel Garza, he's pretty good on the microphone, too.
Yes. Yes. And that guy's going to be really, really good. Oh, he should be at least.
Oh.
I mean, he was like, remember he was kind of a baby face, and then all of a sudden he gets called up to Raw, and he's a bad guy? And it's like, I can see why he's hateable, though. He's got that smarmy thing going. You're like, ugh. Yeah. And then Andrade, actually, I can see why he would be the face. Just looking at the guy like, who's this little punk bitch coming in here, like, walking out on me, taking my spot and all this stuff. But...
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. No, I like him. And then, I know this has nothing to do with what we want to talk about, but I can't remember. I haven't talked about this with anybody. What the hell is going on with Tozawa? Like, in a world, like, honestly, in a world that we're in right now, okay? A guy that speaks perfect English, because he is Japanese, that's not his first language. Japanese is his first language. He comes over here. He's cut promos in English. He shows up in some goofy video as a ninja. And now they're actually advertising him as, like, the leader of a ninja clan. And I'm like, I thought we were past this stuff.
That has been one of those stranger things to happen. In the WWE, because, yeah, that's another one where I'm like, is this not racist because Tozawa came to them with the idea?
I don't know. Like, I don't even know if it's racist so much, but it just, it's weird, you know? Like,
yeah, if it's not racist, it's definitely stereotypical at a minimum.
Yeah. And it's like, haven't we kind of sort of gotten past all that stuff?
Yeah, I thought once the Usos got rid of the Haka for the most part, that the WWE had gotten those types of gimmicks out of their system.
Yeah.
But at least from what we've seen so far with Tozawa the last couple of weeks, because, I mean, they really seem to be kind of carrying on with this thing.
That was the thing. If it was a one-off in that thing, and you're like, okay, this is the goofiest shit I've ever seen anyways, a 7-foot black ninja, like, okay, that to me is hilariously goofy.
Right.
Cool. But then you got all these other guys who are clearly are all white guys, too. They may be like another darker-skinned or brown-skinned guy in there. But, Rick Knox is actually the referee for this match from AEW. Just noticed that. Anyways, if it was like a one-off, and it was just like, because the Viking Raiders are now a comedy act, which is okay. just, the whole thing was just weird. Like, huh? And now they keep going with it, and I know it's only for the 24/7 title, but...
Oh.
So? It doesn't make it better. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it, because you know Tozawa's better than that.
Yeah, and you're not going to get good Tozawa matches because he has the 24/7 championship.
Yeah.
This stuff might be entertaining. Like, but did he already lose it back to R-Truth?
Yes, that was Monday.
Yeah, I mean, if they let him run with it, I guess it'd be kind of fun. Or it could lead to some more interesting things, unless R-Truth is just going to continually be attacked by ninjas moving forward.
Which I guess is fine. I don't know. It was just weird to me. Ray Phoenix is here. I forgot about that. Ray Phoenix and Pentagon are in the underground as well. But
Right,
so I just wanted to bring that up real quick. We can get to Fyter Fest now. Sorry about that.
Well, hey, I don't feel like Chris and I had talked about the ninja stuff too much, so it was fun to talk about that goofiness for a while. I think we might have talked about it after the first time it happened, but... like you said, like it's more interesting now that it's continuing to happen almost than it was to just as a one-off.
Yeah. Oh, I think Luchasaurus is in here as the giant snake. I think that's him. Anyways, maybe I should turn this off. But it's just the idea that they had all these guys under contract and talent, and I guess because it's on El Rey, it wasn't going to go anywhere. But.
Oh, yeah. And, well, yeah, there just aren't enough station or carriers of that station.
Yeah, yeah.
But speaking of, Luchasaurus there, he was in the first match of Fyter Fest there.
Yes.
I guess the only thing I remember about this match was the fact that Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy needed to hit about 12 moves on Wardlow, and then he almost immediately kicked out after the 3 count, which I guess I didn't completely mind if you're trying to keep him strong. And it's just a tag team match, so I know that they keep a record, but I'm not really going to care that he lost a tag team match in a couple of months.
Yeah, I know, like, MJF is saying that he's still undefeated because he's never been pinned or submitted or disqualified or anything. But his two losses are in tag teams. And he's like, that's not my fault. So, I like Jurassic Express. I sent that picture over to you. Did you see that picture of that dog with Marco Stunt?
Yes.
The dog's just like, and I'm like, that's exactly how I feel when Marco Stunt's out there. Like, again, it's nothing personal. I just don't like the act. He just gets in the way. Like, Jurassic Express, like, when there was a crowd, was super over. And then they tried putting Marco Stunt in, and the crowd didn't react that well to him. Sorry, it just didn't. And then they just keep... I don't understand the purpose he serves. Because you have Jungle Boy, and then you have the dinosaur. That's like a comic book, basically.
Yeah,
and now all of a sudden you get this other guy? Like, no. There's...
Like, yeah, there's and he doesn't really fit the gimmick in some ways. Even though dinosaurs are way before humans, you kind of at least...
Kevin. Read the Bible.
Damn it.
Right near the museum. It's in Kentucky.
Man, more reading to put on the docket. I will get to it.
I'll tell you what, the beginning's pretty interesting, then it gets kind of snoozy in the new stuff. So, plagues, floods, children murder, it's interesting stuff. So,
yeah, there is a lot of child murder.
Boy, and child endangerment, kidnapping, a whole lot of incest. It's quite the read. Anyways, back to Jurassic Express.
But yeah, I mean, Marco Stunt hasn't really done anything to fit into gimmick with them.
Yeah. No, not at all. And that's kind of the problem. But then the other problem is you've got Jungle Boy, who's not exactly big. And you're putting him near a guy who's not that big, who's really small. He doesn't look that much bigger than him. And then you got the tall Luchasaurus, and you're like, okay. Like, it's not doing anyone any good. But
well, yeah, it's because it's okay to go big and small, but it's weird when you go big, small, and then even smaller.
Yeah, bite size, basically. So, yeah, yeah, that's... I don't know, I'm not a huge fan. It's not even that I don't like Marco Stunt matches. I just don't buy him ever being able to win a match.
The guy can perform, and he always seems to have fun toss-around spots in his matches. Mm-hmm. But there's really... That's another one where the gimmick just is a real limit.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, the gimmick is real life, too.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's no overcoming that by doing a gimmick change for him. It's like, 'cause I remember, like, he went up against Lance Archer the first match, and he got offense in, and I'm like, are you kidding? And in the Brody Lee match, Brody Lee beat the shit out of him the whole time. He got one punch in, and that was it. And I'm like, that's exactly how that should have been done. So...
Yeah.
He's an unfortunate. He's an enhancement talent. There's no 1-2-3 kid magic going to be able to be worked here.
Oh.
At least not in that company, I don't think.
It would be really tough. Like, he is so small.
Yeah.
That it just does not seem like it's going to be possible to, you know, like, with... I guess my go-to in that department is always Rey Mysterio, just because he's probably the shortest of the world champions. His athletic ability and at least his bulk made you believe that he could pull some of this stuff off. Maybe not against the Big Show and winning on a roll-up or some weirdness, but... You know, most people aren't, even the big guys aren't as big as Big Show most of the time. So, you know, you could kind of imagine him having a fighting chance. But Marco Stunt, it's just like, I don't think he has a fighting chance against me.
No. No,
so, you know, that is definitely part of the problem. Like, you've definitely got to sell... That person at least can beat my ass before I'm going to believe that they can beat anyone that's even close to it, especially, like, even a title hunt.
Yeah. I mean, and that's not even, like, tough guy posturing like people like doing. It's just, yeah, like, but isn't that the case with all wrestlers? You're supposed to be able to think, like, oh, no, these guys are dangerous. Even good guys, like, oh, yeah, they're really good, you know?
Oh,
and I just don't get it with him. And it didn't, I mean, he didn't really get involved in the match or take away from it. I guess Wardlow threw him on Luchasaurus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, whatever. It, no harm, no foul there. But I was surprised that Jurassic Express won, though.
Yeah, that was a little surprising to me. Not to say that they couldn't have maybe used a win, but... Considering how much just how quick that kick out happened and how much they've been pushing MJF with his spotless record.
Yeah.
I don't think Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus are going to be in the tag team title picture anytime soon. So that's another one where I'm like, these guys could really take the L and recover from this.
Yeah. And they won, and it's like, is it too soon to be starting something between Wardlow and MJF? Like, because he even yelled at him in the thing. He's like, can you do anything right? And that's like, and then a little bit later, he loses, you know?
Oh, yeah. It definitely seems like they're heading in that direction. I feel like there have been a couple of moments like that the last few weeks, and it does seem like it's too soon to be starting something like that, but I guess I don't care either. Like, it's one of those things where they, he's not really a servant of MJF's. Right. So, like, I guess I don't think there's as much tension there with him breaking apart, but they are building that confrontation up. And I'm not sure who ends up, like, I guess I don't want Wardlow to be a babyface coming out of this thing. And I don't want MJF to be a babyface, so I don't understand them splitting up either, like... Yeah. Or at least in that, in the we're going to need to fight each other manner.
Yeah, no, MJF, I think it's possible down the line he could become a face, like people are just going to cheer for him.
Oh.
Because he's such a dick.
Yeah.
But then, you know, if he allows it, because I mean, people start cheering for Rock, and he just finally accepted it. Or they said, all right, now start accepting it. But I know I'm not comparing MJF to The Rock, but it's something similar. Like, you look at those old videos, even Shahid pointed out on our last show, Rock's an asshole.
Oh.
But he's an entertaining asshole, and he's the people's asshole, basically. Yeah. So that's why we allowed it. So, but no, I liked it. I liked the match. It's still, they do such convoluted shit. Like, there's a lot of standing around waiting for someone to do a move. And that's basically how this entire show was. That's fine, whatever. That's just what they're going to do, but it takes me out of it sometimes when you can see, like, Luchasaurus is just sitting there waiting.
Oh.
And then finally someone jumps into his arm and like, oh my God, let's go. But.
Yeah, there were a couple of moments like that. It just didn't seem like the, I felt like AEW had split up the card pretty well. Between, because both them and NXT are doing this 2-week special thing with Fyter Fest and the Great American Bash. And, yeah, I definitely like the NXT side of things more than, and not to kind of go back to what you're saying, like, AEW didn't do anything terrible, I don't think. But I just liked the NXT stuff better. Like, because, yeah, the tag match was fine. I'm not really going to get too wound up about the finish. I guess I don't understand it, but it's not that big a deal. And I guess this one is maybe worth asking. Am I the only one? I was sitting here wondering, after the Hikaru Shida versus Penelope Ford match, I was wondering why they haven't used Penelope Ford more in the women's division, because she's a better wrestler than some of the other women that have been on before her.
I think you're looking at it wrong. I think that's Penelope Ford's best match ever, and that's because of who she was in the ring with.
Oh, okay.
I don't think, how do you say her name again? I'm sorry.
Hikaru Shida?
Yeah, Ushida. I don't think she gets enough credit for being that good. Because she came in so awkwardly. Oh, and by the way, you know what? She doesn't have a sword anymore. It's a kendo stick.
Oh, yes.
That's bullshit. I complained about the first time I saw her. You carry a sword to the ring, you better take that out, and you better do something with it. And no, I'm not saying impale or slice somebody. But goddamn. You don't tease the audience like that. Anyways, I guess maybe this is their way around it.
Yeah, I guess that's their way of, maybe they did think the same thing, and they felt like moving to the kendo stick was the right move.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, whatever, but a kendo stick is so played out in wrestling.
Oh.
That was one part I really enjoyed, that was the beginning with Kip Sabian being an asshole. So, oh. Aubrey Edwards kicks him out, and he goes, oh, okay. Reaches down, grabs a candlestick, and he goes, I'm taking this. And he walks off with it to make sure that the odds are even. And I go, yes, that's a really childish move, but it also, okay. I mean,
it does, you know? It makes him look like an asshole, or at least an asshat. Taking that with him.
Yeah, but as far as Penelope Ford, though, yeah, that's got to be her best match I've ever seen. And she has gotten better.
Yeah,
well, that's part of it.
Yeah, I guess I haven't really seen any of her matches, so I guess I don't know how good she is. I've maybe seen some highlights, and I guess just because she's been very, I felt like Penelope Ford was very active in the matches in which she was still dating Joey Janela. And she's definitely been active somewhat in the matches with Kip Sabian and our maybe dearly departed Jimmy Havoc.
Regardless, and I know, it's always accusations. If whatever came to light, good. I mean, that's enough. But on a fan level, good. I never understood him. I never liked his matches. Peace out, bro. I hope you get the help, and I hope whatever you've done in the past can be forgiven, rectified with whoever you've hurt. But don't come back on my TV screen. I've had enough of him. He was on MLW as well. I felt the same way. So,
he doesn't strike me as a brawler type, and then that's kind of what he goes for. Mm-hmm. And
no, just dumb shit. Yeah. He uses staple guns and stuff. This is dumb. As much as people hate Jim Cornette, he is right about some things. And that's one of them.
But
when it comes to her, though, I know how this is going to sound. She doesn't look like other female wrestlers. Maybe in the past, she would have blended in with all the really, really hot-looking women. That were wrestlers. I think that's actually a detriment to her. And I know, it's the fans' issue, I guess. But I think that's the reason, that even, I'm saying this as for myself as well, maybe that's part of the reason she didn't get credit for being a good wrestler. She's hot as hell. There's no way around it. And sometimes, people want to think things are different, and they're not, that can take away from her actual talent. And I'm sorry, the perception of her talent. That's what I meant to say.
I guess I'm cool either way, but that's more clear.
Yeah. Well, I got to make sure I'm clear today. So I think that's what may have hurt her, but in this case, I think she was just really good in this. And I know other people have done this. How the hell do you do the splits like that and not hurt your groin? I'm not, obviously you're stretched out enough to where your body can do that, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about, and this goes for Naomi, does the same thing. Ron Killings.
God bless. Does that, yeah.
They just do it, R-Truth jumps into it. He gets air and then slams himself on the ground. If she does it, she jumps and bang. And I know the anatomy's different, but
yeah,
has to hurt. That's gotta hurt like a motherfucker, man.
I would think so.
Oh, it never looks comfortable. And I'm like, you're trying to hurt yourself before the match? That's just kind of silly.
I mean, I guess you must hit on the inside of your legs or something like that to help cushion the blow.
Yeah, but man, okay, it still hurts. There's still nerve endings there, So, But no, I enjoyed the match. Now listen, I enjoyed Fighter Fest. I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Outside the, part one at least, or night one, whatever they're saying. But, I'm always critical of the women's division. But it's clear when they can get someone who's competent. And I know Tessa Blanchard's out there now. And I know this won't go over well. They need to get her ass there. And basically tell her, hey, listen, you got to work here. And you got to work with these people, not alienate them. And basically, don't be yourself. From everything we've heard, don't be yourself. You're here to do a job. You're here to do a job with these people, not for them, not against them. And then their women's division will get better if people will listen to her.
Yes, she is a she is good in the ring. It seems that the problems are outside of the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this is one thing I didn't look this up. Is Fit Finlay still unemployed from WWE? Wasn't he one of them that got furloughed or laid off or whatever?
I can't remember what his situation was. If he was furloughed, he might be waiting to come back to the WWE, but if he was outright released, I would think that someone would have picked him up by now, honestly. Like, it's obviously a... Because didn't he work with the women's division in the WWE a lot?
That's exactly where I was going. It's like, I think he may be on something there. Because if he was available, do you think Cody and them wouldn't be jumping all over the place trying to get him?
Just
for the women's division? Because look at who the... Dude, after Hager hit the referee, BJ Whitmer came out. And I was like, I forgot all about him. If they're hiring him, do you think they're going to let Fit Finlay go? Like, no. At least they shouldn't.
No, they should not. You should pick Fit Finlay over BJ Whitmer 100 times out of 100.
I'd even go as far as Dean Malenko as well. I mean, depending on how the creative structure goes back there. Now, Dean's obviously a veteran. He was always good. Too bad he was basically a little bit taller than Marco Stunt. But I don't know if he's necessary if you can get somebody that can prop up an entire division. Because as we always say, that's their weakest part of the show, is their women's division. And one, I don't know if it's always in-ring, but their booking of the women's division is very odd to me. But
they don't really give them a whole lot of meat to chew on. I will say that. Like, their feuds are almost entirely based in ring. Like, as much as I do like Sheeta, like, I have no idea what her real personality. Like, I got nothing on her personality.
Like, why does her entrance video have that awesome mirror outfit? And then she just comes out just the way she is. Like, wait, how does one correlate to the next? Like, is that part of her name? Like, did I miss it getting explained? Any of that sort of stuff. And what do we really know about Penelope Ford? She's Kip Sabian's fiance. And she's bitchy, if you want to go with, like, the mean girl sort of
stuff.
You don't really know anything about her either.
No.
So...
No, and I mean, I don't... And it's not any better. Like, I didn't... Other than the fact that Nyla Rose is the Beast, I don't know anything about Nyla Rose.
Well, at least Nyla Rose was given, like, some bullying segments.
Yeah.
Where she's just a horrible person. And like, okay, that's cool. I get it. And that's all she should be. And she should still be champion. But anyways, it's that at least you have some sort of idea. Britt Baker is a delusional woman.
Yeah,
it's great.
They have definitely locked down that is the only true character in the women's division is Britt Baker.
Yeah, I have no idea what Big Swole is. I know Swole is now a state of mind because everybody pointed out she's 5 foot tall and not that like not swole, you know.
Oh,
so I was like, oh, okay, but yeah, and I don't know. We always evolve to the women's division. I think it's just because it's a disappointment for me.
Well, and but this one, I was glad that this was not. I think that should be a reminder here that this match was not a disappointment. Like, even though I am making fun of them for not doing that, like this really was one of the better matches that they've had for the women's division.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was believable as well, which always helps. So, you know, and then, of course, Kip Sabian trying to come out and trying to interfere again. It's like, okay, you knew that was going to happen.
Oh. So,
and that's fine.
Yeah.
So, what was after this match, though? I don't remember.
Cody versus Jake Hager.
Okay. Good match. Why is Arn Anderson out there? And I'm being dead serious now. That is douchey. Arn's coach's corner? when maybe this is a bigger AEW problem. You just had like the, what was it, the Stadium Stampede match. They're doing all this goofy shit, right? And they're always doing something dumb. You had the Inner Circle, the brunch thing.
Yeah, the Sunday brunch or whatever.
Right. And it's like, and then Arn Anderson's Trina's like, well, I've been scouting everybody. I'm like, what? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And then he's got his scorecard or his play card. Like,
oh.
What? Like, I don't understand why he's out there unless it's leading to something. But all I ever see is Arn Anderson gets his ass kicked during every single one of Cody's matches. That's literally all it is.
I think he's just out there because they have him. They really seem to want to feature the legends. Like, Jake Roberts is not really needed either.
No, he's not at all, no. So, I don't get why he's out there. Lance Archer doesn't need anybody. I mean, you can just have the psycho running around. I mean, he's actually done a pretty good job of just showing himself out to be the psycho guy. Like, him getting in Joey Janela's face, I was like, Jesus Christ. And also, it comes from being scared shitless by Lance Archer when we went to that New Japan show.
Oh.
Dude, that scared the shit. I didn't know he was going to do that. He came out. One, like, they're announcing people. He comes down like Stan Hansen, just bull rushes down the little entranceway.
Oh, yeah.
He starts kicking and beating up everybody. I was like, holy shit. And some of the fans are cheering, and he just snaps at the fans cheering. And he goes, don't think I won't come in and do the same thing to you, motherfucker. I was like, holy shit. I'm like, yeah. All right, I'm going to sit back down right now. Like, nah, that's all right. Yeah, that was crazy. But, you know, Jake Roberts doesn't need to be there. But I'm just confused with the Arn Anderson thing. Unless they're, like, there's the rumors that Cody's going to start his own Four Horsemen or some sort of horseman group.
Oh.
And Arn's going to be, like, the J.J. Dillon part of it. Right. So
yeah, yeah. I guess I just don't like. I know that there we've advocated for agents for a long time, or making it more sportsy. But I guess I'm just not gonna buy that out of Arn Anderson for some reason or another.
Yeah. I'm with you. I agree. And especially because of the history between Cody and Dusty Rhodes and Arn Anderson, too. Like, that's always brought up. It's always such a weird thing. Like,
oh.
Okay. And I know Cody tried to explain it and all this, but it's still weird. But no, like, this match was good. Stop harping on the negative of it, but I liked everything going on. I like that, you know, Hager going for his stuff. Cody's trying to do, like, his moves and all that and getting countered. They made Hager look like a beast, dude. Those, I can't remember what kind of tosses they're called, but where he's just throwing him across the ring.
Yeah.
Because Hager doesn't look physically at his best right now, which is kind of strange because I thought he was training for a fight. And then...
He definitely looks, and I feel like this happened to Bobby Lashley too, and obviously it did with Brock Lesnar. They definitely leaned out for MMA as opposed to... I just feel like all of them have bulked up when they've been in professional wrestling. Like, Lashley might be the only one who didn't move as much in the thinning out department. Lesnar needed to get into the heavyweight division, and I feel like Hager probably did it. I don't know what... Is he fighting heavyweight?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. But I do feel like he's leaned out since his WWE days. Like, that's... And I have no idea if it's true, but just from kind of looking at him, like you said, like, physically, like, I think that he looks more lean than he did in the WWE.
Oh, for sure. And so when they're trying to get him over, it's like the powerhouse. I'm like, well, okay. And then Cody just selling, I mean, getting tossed all over, like, okay, that makes way more sense now. But
yeah,
I liked it. I kind of dug, I don't know, most of the times it would annoy me, but I kind of liked Dustin Rhodes getting involved. just him coming down and punching him. Just a real simple, just punched him and that was it. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool because, you know, seeing, like, brothers stick together like that, you don't see it that often. And especially because they do a good job of keeping Dustin and QT Marshall on AEW Dark.
Oh.
For whatever reason, they're a team. But, like, they keep them out of the same space outside of, like, the press conference they had. And so, like, him coming down was kind of cool. And then after, I wasn't all that crazy about the end. Was Cody supposed to tap while Hager was pinning him?
Oh.
Because that's the only reason Hager can complain, is if Cody was tapping.
I did not feel like they showed a replay of Cody tapping. Or did they?
No, there was no replay of the pin at all.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe they're saving that for later. I'm not sure.
I don't know. But that's what I thought was supposed to happen. Was they were going to show that Hager or Cody tapped. You know, the classic tap on getting pinned thing. And when nothing happened and Hager hits the referee, I'm like, is he going to fight? Is that why they're doing this? And then it turns out, like, in story, Hager only got suspended 10 days.
I did not see that.
Yeah, and then fined, like, $10,000 or something stupid. But it's like, okay, so is that 10 Wednesdays or is that 10 days? You know? If it's 10 Wednesdays, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That he's gearing up for his fighting. Because imagine in football, somebody hits a referee and they go, you're only suspended 10 days. You'd be like, wait, what? No, that's like a 6 weeks, or I'm sorry, 6 games, if not a whole year suspension. So.
Yeah, it would be a little more severe would that happen in a real sport.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to figure out what other match was on here.
We had an easy one to kind of not talk a whole lot about. Private Party versus Santana and Ortiz.
Man, what? This Inner Circle thing is a goddamn mess. Remember when they were positioned to be the best thing going in AEW?
Yes.
Basically, LAX is like the comedy team of the group. Sammy's off serving his suspension. Hager just lost, which, okay, you know. And then you've got Jericho, who's fighting Orange Cassidy. So I'm like, okay, this is where LAX is going to, like, they're going to establish them as a team again to get them in the mix for, like, FTR and all that. And a Private Party wins. And I went, what? Like, okay, I guess? Like, it didn't make sense to me.
I'm with you. I was really shocked that Santana and Ortiz didn't win. I really, just because they haven't done much with Private Party, I just kind of assumed they were taking an L.
Right.
And it's even weird, like, I kind of understand them connecting Private Party with Matt Hardy, but he's still... Like, if he's not going to be out there, what's he really doing for them?
Exactly. And I know there's, like, all the different versions of Matt Hardy now. But, huh? Like, when did he become manager Matt Hardy? You know what I mean?
And 5 minutes after the Stampede match?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah.
And that's the only time that I can come up with.
Yeah. But yeah, so, I mean, this match was just whatever.
Yeah.
The ending is more shocking and more noteworthy than the match itself. That was
Agreed.
The most contrived one of their finishers, by the way. When, I can't, what the hell, what's their finisher even called? I can't remember. The slingshot, Diamond Cutter, which is a great move, by the way.
Gin and Juice.
That's it. It just seemed like it took forever. And I don't know. I expected more out of LAX when they came in to AEW, and just haven't gotten them. We haven't gotten the badasses from TNA or Impact, whatever.
Yeah, I agree. Like, they were definitely one of the, when I watched Impact there before going to see them last February or January, whatever it was. I really liked Santana and Ortiz, and I was coming in like, oh, they're going to have some great tag team matches, and they haven't been in a single great tag team match yet in their AEW run.
And that sucks.
Yeah.
Because as a fan, that means I'm being robbed of something that should be happening, you know? But... whatever. Maybe there's a grand plan, but I don't see it. I'm having a hard time seeing where there's this grand plan where all this is going to make sense. I'm like, I guess, because nothing really makes sense right now. Like, things, especially with AEW, and this is one thing that's really gets on my nerves, is the way things just change, and they just change.
Oh.
Well, why? Why? What's going on here? No, that's just what it is. Like, huh? Like, I mean, the major one is the Butcher and the Blade dressing like they're from Clockwork Orange, I guess. And then the Bunny, who was still in their video, is now Allie, and she's going after QT Marshall, even though everyone knows her and Braxton Sutter are a couple. Like, what? Like, what's going on? And they brought it up, and she just ignores it. And it's like, okay... maybe this is just an angle for AEW After Dark, or Dynamite After Dark, excuse me. Okay, fine. But who the fuck knows? I mean, it doesn't mean everyone watches it. I can't tell you the last time I watched Dynamite. I think when it went to an hour, or an hour and a half the other day, I was like, holy shit. More wrestling without people, and it's even longer now? Like, man. But... so that's what I was saying. Like, this, it just seems like we're getting, I guess, robbed. Maybe that's too strong of a word, but
yeah,
they aren't getting any younger. The way things are going,
no. And it was kind of weird. Well, I found it a little bit odd that they were pushing Ortiz more than Santana.
Yes,
as kind of almost the singles guy out of the pair, and I'm like, huh? Like, Santana's the bigger guy, and he doesn't really, like, Ortiz does almost all the comedy spots.
Yes. And, well, I mean, he's got the big puffy hair, he always over-exaggerates his facials, like a comedy guy would. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Or like, there's always that one of your friends who's just the clown.
Oh, right.
And that's him. So, yeah, it's very, very strange to me, but... maybe they're saving all this stuff for when you can have crowds again. You know, or maybe I'm just making excuses for their bad decisions. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just really hard to tell, like, at this point.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Like if Jericho loses to Orange Cassidy next week, I mean, it's official. The Inner Circle stuff's done. How do you take him seriously? So when every one of them has lost, and I can't remember the last time Sammy Guevara won a match on his own, maybe Dustin Rhodes, but I think he even had Hager helping him. You know, I know they're bad guys, so that's whatever. But
right,
yeah. But so there was that match, fine, and then Taz cutting that promo. Him calling, he's like, that's because we don't run a sloppy house. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I think the jabs at the WWE were funnier than the rest of the promo.
Yeah. I've never heard Brian Cage talk, and maybe there's a reason that's why Taz is his vocal guy. You know, that's fine.
Yeah, I guess I don't think he's bad, but I don't think he's a remarkable talker either.
Yeah, I really don't know. I can't remember that much.
You know,
I wasn't watching Impact when he was on.
Yeah, well, the dose of Impact that I did watch with him, the dose of Impact that I did watch, he was in. And again, I guess he was okay, because he had a lot of promos opposite Karrion Kross.
Oh, okay.
Because they were kind of in a feud, and he was in a feud with Johnny Wrestling. No, not Johnny Wrestling.
Johnny Impact.
Johnny Impact.
Yeah. Something.
Jesus. Too many Johnnies
so many
around.
Names, man. Well, he was just Johnny Mundo. He was actually just on Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
Johnny Nitro, Johnny Blaze. Like, oh,
Johnny is it Johnny Drip Drip now? Is that what I'm...
I don't know.
Supposed
don't
to
know
be calling?
He must just like the money they're giving him. So.
Oh, yeah.
But the end, like, the final tag team match I liked, I don't understand, like, they toe this line between online and online reality, and then whatever stories they're trying to make. Why did Trent's mom give them a ride to the ring? I was totally confused.
I guess it's supposed to be because they're best friends, and it's kind of a high school-y thing to do.
Okay.
But
they're grown men. They just come off like tools.
Well, yeah. I mean, as much as the best friends thing got them over with the hug in the ring... After it costs you, like, every consecutive match after it gets you over, don't you just go, maybe we shouldn't do this anymore?
Or do it after the match is over.
Or do it after the match is over. Like, yeah. We'll save the hug for the victory, guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, this match was good. I like best friends. So, I just thought it was weird. But it always seems like sometimes... AEW does stuff like you're supposed to know. But I don't spend all my time on Twitter or the internet or any of that sort of stuff. I just don't.
Right.
So I need some filling in here. Like, was this like an inside joke? Because they do that a lot. And then, okay. I wasn't too surprised that Kenny Omega and Paige won. Because it seems like that's going to be like a big one. And
yes.
This is where I think, or I wonder if they're saving, like, anything big until there's a crowd. Whenever that's going to be.
Oh.
They film in Florida, so who knows? But, because, I mean, hell, WWE was planning on having crowds by the end of July. And then that got nixed. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even their pilot program of having a few fans in the crowd is not gone as...
One taping.
Quite as planned. So, yeah.
Yeah, but no, that's what I'm thinking. Like, all right, so Best Friends were a placeholder. Because they obviously don't want the Young Bucks versus FTR without a crowd. I mean, that shouldn't happen until there's a crowd around. Whether it's 1,000 people, 500 people, 5,000, whatever it is, that has to be in front of a crowd.
Yeah, like, and I feel like we've talked about this before, but, like, how long do you hold out for some of this stuff? Because it really is, it's screwing up their like, the WWE seems to be chugging along at a normal pace, and AEW does seem to be the one that's maybe holding out for some of these matchups at a later time.
Now, what I can see, though, you can kind of see the seeds that are being planted, because next week, the FTR and the Bucks team up, which is weird, against the Lucha Brothers and... Oh, shit. Uh-oh. Who's the other team? Oh, Butcher and the Blade.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of see, because the Butcher and Blade attacked the Bucks.
Oh, right.
So you can have that singles match coming up. So you can have that feud for a little bit. And then FTR has been talking crap about the Lucha Bros because they aren't real tag team wrestlers. So you got that little feud there.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you got Hangman Page and Omega, who are still the champs. Maybe this is where LAX upsets them, or Jurassic Express, or something. Because it seems obvious that team's going to explode. Jesus, I'm on TV. But that team's going to pick up. And those two are going to feud for a little bit. Not like a vicious one, but it'd definitely be like a blow-off steam thing.
Yeah.
And then finally, maybe get the Omega that everyone wants instead of this version. And go from there. So you can kind of see where they're doing stuff. And I think they could keep them away from each other for a year. And then have one of them round around, win the tag titles, so that the first time they meet up is going to be for the tag team titles. You could really play this out with the teams they have from what they've set up. And it'll make people antsy, and you do run the risk of losing the audience, you know?
Oh.
Like, oh my God, are they still doing this? Hell, FTR, like, they're being all buddy-buddy, but I can definitely see them, like, turning and, you know, they want a real tag team wrestling match, and then they could break their own rules, you know, and do whatever to win the titles, you know?
Yeah.
Because that never really happened. They were always the guys that were talking about tradition, were real tag team wrestlers, but they never went outside that mold and came up with, like, a high-flying move or some sort of, like, nefarious cheating. They cheated, but nothing terribly. You know what I mean?
It was always within the easy pantheon of wrestling cheats.
Right. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they're routinely calling out the Lucha Brothers. Say, well, you're not a real tag team anyway, so we're not too worried about you. But, I mean, they've got them, Jurassic Express, LAX they could still go with. Because I don't really know what FTR is supposed to be. Like, are they bad guys, good guys? They're fighting with the Butcher and Blade. They're helping the Bucks. They're getting in a fight with Kenny Omega, which is absolutely justified. All Kenny Omega had to do was say, hey, I don't drink. I appreciate it, but I don't drink. So I'll toast you, and then we'll be done. Instead, he just pours it out? Like, you're an asshole.
Yeah, that was kind of an asshole move on his part. Like you said, like, all he needed to go is, like, okay, thanks. And just not drank.
Yes. And the funniest part to me was Hangman Page getting mad at him. Because they did that on purpose with Omega in the Bucks and an FTR and Hangman. And Hangman is all over Kenny Omega's case, which can be made because Page drinks. And he's like, I want to drink the damn beer. Because I don't know if you noticed after the match was over, which I know we totally glossed over the match, but okay. And
yeah.
Page gets the beer. Did you see him just start chugging it?
Oh, yeah.
That was so funny.
That is just one of the grosser things. Like, I know I've told the story on the podcast before, but I drank before I played soccer one time, and it was the worst idea.
Oh my God.
Anything that involves lots of running / cardio and then beer immediately thereafter, like, I'm just, like, I want some water and to recover before I start drinking. Like, Paige drinking that beer immediately after the match just grossed me out in that kind of way. Like, it's not something that I just don't enjoy it. Like, it doesn't feel good in my body to do that. As much as I like beer, like, that, the timing of when I drink it is important.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's a reason they eat orange slices and drink water right afterwards. I mean, it's not like the old days with the hockey players who drink beers during intermission.
Oh.
Those days are long gone.
Yeah.
So.
Paige is definitely old school in that department.
Yeah, so I mean, that was pretty much week one of Fighter Fest. And then we found out Moxley won't be there this week. It'll be next week, so okay, whatever.
No.
And then we got... When did they say it was the Great American Bash? I was confused by that. Did I miss that?
That was kind of funny. I think as Roch and Raw on Monday, and they said Great American Bash, and I'm like, oh, maybe I can work on a graphic for that for the show. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, this Wednesday. I'm like, what? I'm kind of in your, if they had mentioned it being the Great American Bash, I really don't remember that coming up for NXT at all.
But also, wasn't that Cody's big thing, like, of all the, or was it Starrcade? No, I think it was Starrcade. Like, someone asked me if you could have any of the pay-per-view names. I thought Great American Bash was it, but maybe it was Starrcade, because he goes, my dad created that. So I'm guessing it was Starrcade then.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, so that's why I was just wondering if they called the Great American Bash just to, you know, another dig. You know, because as cool as Triple H plays it, you know he's doing this stuff on purpose. I mean, it's obvious. So,
yeah, I mean, you have the rights to these things. I guess you may as well use them.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, you absolutely should, yeah.
Sasha Banks definitely leaned into the Great American Bash theme with her outfit this week.
I was never the biggest Sasha Banks fan. I definitely am on board now.
Oh.
These last few months with her and Bayley. Okay, this is how you organically make people, I'm going to sound like The Miz, like must see, or make them a part, like an integral part of your show. Are you at all tired of those two?
No, they have gone Asuka level on me. Yes.
They're on every show, sometimes multiple segments. I'm not tired of either one of them at all. Unlike when they were putting Charlotte on every show, and it was like, ugh, peace out, get out of here, like, enough.
Yeah, it really doesn't help that Charlotte's character is almost too serious for its own good.
Yep.
You know, as much as she likes to win and as great as she can be in the ring, like, there isn't anything outside of the ring to draw your interest. Like, Sasha and Bayley being best friends, a different variety thereof than the than those ones. But, you know, they get to play off of each other and kind of bring stuff out of each other. And Charlotte really doesn't have that.
No, no. It's, especially with her. I thought there was going to be something with her and Chelsea Green. When they did that team up, and Chelsea Green leaves. She leaves the Robert Stone brand, and she hasn't been on TV since. So unless, and I hope that's not the case, it's for her own health, and unless she got COVID, unless she was one of the people, you know, they don't, you can't by law release who has it.
Oh. So,
you know, but that would make sense. But I thought there was something going there, even though Charlotte was like, I know this is a one-time thing, whatever else, but no, it's, those two are supposed to be best friends. They're dominating everything else. Like, I love Asuka, but there's part of me that would really enjoy seeing Sasha and Bayley have all the women's titles.
Oh.
They're obnoxious now without one. Can you imagine them with all of them?
It could be a lot of fun if they did that.
And that's something that that's missing. Now, it also, the only danger of that is, well, not until crowds come back. I'd be very curious to see how crowds react to them. Because everything they're doing and saying is coming true for the most part. We're the best. We built NXT. Well, yeah, for the women, they sure as hell did. You could possibly say the women as well. I'm sorry, they built that more than the men did.
Oh, yes.
I think one of the most highly rated matches outside of Gargano and Cole, which NXT was already established, is Bayley and Sasha. Because remember, they main evented that show. And was it TakeOver? Was it New York? Or was it just a, or just, yeah, it had to be one of the WrestleMania or SummerSlam shows or something like that. But anyways.
Yeah, I think Brooklyn would have been a SummerSlam show.
Yeah, yeah. And, dude, have you watched that match at all lately? Or, like, seen the end of it, at least?
No.
It's still incredible. You know who's going to win. You know how everything's going to go down. Bayley still wins, and it is still emotional. It is still awesome.
Oh.
So, you know, it's great. But I still wasn't sold on Sasha to go back to this. And her and Io, they had their rough spots. And I know we're starting at the end of the fight of Great American Bash, but they had some rough spots in there. There was a clear communication issue here and there. Not enough to ruin the match, obviously.
No.
But then what really got me is what I was telling you before we went on the air. When Bayley got involved, I was like, okay, Asuka's going to show up. Because why wouldn't she? She's fighting Sasha, you know? She grabs the belt, and I was like, that's pretty cool. Okay. And then you could see she had her cheeks puffed out. I'm like, she's gonna blow mist at her. And then Io's going to get...
The pin.
Yeah. No, I thought she was going to get disqualified.
Oh.
So there's a way out of it. Like, she didn't ask for that to happen.
Right.
Asuka caused it. But then she did the roll-up, and I'm like, okay. When she did the roll-up, Sasha whips her head forward so her hair is covering her face. When she gets up, she's whipping her hair around again, so you still really can't see it. The referee can't see it. And then when Io goes, does her stuff, Sasha tucks her head under Io's legs so the referee can't see her face. Referee counts three, match over, and I went, that's awesome. Like, that is so good. She is so good. Because it didn't look contrived. You know, whenever you see a wrestler go to the top rope and you see the guy on the ground like kind of like move himself over to get in better position, how much it takes you out of a match.
Yeah.
This was seamless. So maybe it wasn't all Sasha. Maybe Io was like, alright, I know what to do here too. But how many times have we seen that mist thing go down where the other person who gets the mist in the face doesn't protect themselves or protect their face from the referee? And you're like, the referee's that goddamn stupid that he can't see something happened?
Yeah, it does get a little annoying. But yeah, they did a great job of covering up the paint.
Yeah, and then immediately the referee looks and goes, hey, wait, what the hell? He's looking around, and then, you know, WWE, the referee's decision is official, or final.
Oh.
It's still the dumbest thing ever, but, yeah. So,
yeah.
But that match was good. I had no idea who was going to win. And then Tom Phillips says something during the match about it being a non-title match. And I went, wait, this isn't for the NXT title? Because I was almost positive they advertised it as Io versus Sasha, because they even said in one of the backstage vignettes about how Bayley and Bayley or Sasha, one of the two, said something about, well, we're going to walk out of here with all the gold, and then at what's coming up, Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
Then we're going to take I'm going to take Asuka's title. We are going to have all of the gold. And then Tom Phillips goes, this is a non-title match. I went, wait, what? Did he misspeak? Like, or did I hear something wrong? I honestly don't know.
I guess I was in your boat. I thought it was going to be a tag match. I was just like, oh, I guess I kind of just accepted the fact it was non-title as soon as Tom Phillips said something. Like, I did not call that into question.
Yeah, but as soon as that was non-title, I'm like, oh, I see how this is going to play out. And then EO won. I was like, oh, right, never mind. But, no, I had a good time watching this match. And it's funny, this show was sandwiched. Because the beginning of the show was the Fatal 4-Way.
Oh.
And I heard people complaining, not Fatal 4-Way, the Elimination 4-Way. I actually heard, like, Meltzer and somebody else complaining the match was too long. How many times have we complained that a match involving multiple people that's an elimination match ends way too short? Like, people are getting pinned out of nowhere for no reason.
I would say roughly 95% of elimination matches I've complained about some people being eliminated too quickly.
Yeah. I mean, even Candice LeRae went out, to me, pretty quick, when they're supposed to be billed her as, like, the Poison Pixie.
Oh, yeah.
But everybody teamed up on her. So that makes sense. It wasn't like one person just did a move, did a roll-up, and she's gone. So that way she at least has something to go back to. It was like, it took three people to get rid of me. three of you had to get rid of little old me. You know? So it saves face. And it keeps going on. I like that it ended with Tegan and Dakota Kai to kind of put like the a finality on their feud.
Yeah, I really like that part because A, I feel like Mia Yim can't have another I'm the first one to take on the new title holder.
I never thought of that.
Like, she's done that the last couple of times because they're like, oh, she's the bat, you know, the Blazing Baddie. Yep. You know, she get, you know, and she has all, you know, she's been in wrestling for a while and yada yada that they always trot out for her. So it was kind of nice to, you know, where was I going with that? Oh, to not have her, be the one to take them on. Like, because I did feel like Candace and Mia Yim have been a little bit too much of a default to lose to the champions just because they're like, hey, we trust you guys in the ring. Put these two, you know, put over the new champion, whether it's Rhea or someone else.
Or Shayna. But yeah, no, you're exactly right. But yeah, but I thought that match was good. It wasn't great. But
yeah.
To complain that it was too long is asinine. Because if it was shorter, you complain that, well, this isn't realistic. Well, make up your mind, and you can't fill an elimination match full of all high spots. I mean, just silly. So, I liked it though.
Yeah.
I mean, and how was it going to be bad? I mean, look who was in it. Now, I'm not exactly sure about Tegan Knox because the poor woman keeps getting hurt. She hasn't been lately, but you haven't really seen her do a whole lot. Until recently, and until Raquel Gonzalez tried killing her that one time. Was it the next TakeOver Portland where she hit her head on the table instead of put her body going through the table?
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. But yeah, so...
Yeah, because... Yeah, so the women sandwiched... The Timothy Thatcher, Oni Lorcan match was... It was fine for what it was.
I loved it. Just you don't see anything like that in WWE.
No, I guess the only thing that I kind of thought to myself was, I don't know if it was Kenny Omega level of error, but I do feel like I've seen Oni Lorcan lose long enough that if you're trying to build up Timothy Thatcher as a badass, that 11 and a half minutes seems a little excessive for the length of the match.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's fair. Yeah. I mean, I guess Oni's kind of like the badass is more like he's like the silent badass. Like you don't really know much about him, but you always know he's going to fight like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess that'd be the only excuse where it'd be okay. But yeah, but I'm with you, though. So maybe it should have gone like 9 minutes, maybe shorter. But Thatcher is so unique to what they do that I think that's why I liked it so much.
Yeah,
I mean it's just constant countering, moving around, and it looks effortless too, which is even scarier.
Yeah, there's I don't know how many people are going to be able to pull that off. Like I do think that Lorcan is one of the few opponents that would be that can pull it off, so it was a good choice to have him in there as an opponent. And yeah, it didn't seem, even though you could almost argue that it's kind of like a Randy Orton boring style match, there was still, like you said, like there was enough movement and counters to all the holds that it never seemed to be too static, even though they were using a lot of rest holds.
Yes. Yeah, well, but they were rest holds very nicely disguised. Like, I think that'd be like, I know you're using Orton as your example, but he, motherfucker, would just go to a chin lock. You know, like, okay. And I know it's actually on the other person to sell how bad it is.
Oh.
And they don't, but still. I mean, it's still like, okay. But... Yeah, no, I enjoyed that one quite a bit. So, it was just unique.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll get old after a while, but who knows.
Yeah, like
I
said.
By the way, before we go any further.
Uh-huh.
I guess the result of next week leaked out. Did you know that?
Oh. Google has not hit me up with that alert yet.
I do not know what happened, so I'm just telling you right now. So just be on the lookout. I guess one of the idiots in the crowd, who's like one of their talents, took a photo and put it on Instagram.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
So just watch it out there. So I really haven't been going to too many wrestling sites or any of that stuff right now. Just I don't want it spoiled. And I also don't, like, I don't know who I want to win either. So.
Gotcha.
But. It's a tricky one. Adam Cole's awesome. And he's gone on for so long. But I love Keith Lee. So what do you do? I mean.
I don't know.
I hate not having someone to root for.
That is definitely one of those both these guys matches for me. Because I think it'd be easy for either guy to run with the double title situation.
Yeah. And it's very weird to me, though, to do the double title thing. But, like, you created it so more people have an opportunity to go after it. But now you're putting them together. I guess you have to relinquish one. And maybe that's how they're going to do it. They're going to make them relinquish it so that they can have a tournament. Easy way to fill TV time, you know? So,
yes, but anyways, yes, it is.
Yeah, I also mean whoever wins has to give up the North American one. That's I honestly have no idea. And I saw a headline on the R2Circle Reddit, and it said, spoilers out there for the title match next week. And I went, fuck. So luckily, you know, it didn't let on one way or another.
Okay, so, well, that's good news. None of the other matches on our slate here were high stakes. I definitely don't think Rhea Ripley versus Aaliyah and Robert Stone is on the hot take list. I mean, that one to me really falls under it was what it was.
Yep, and part of me was hoping Rhea would lose just to give, like, bring out another side of her personality. Like, having to do whatever his bidding is.
Oh.
And having to be, like, at the beck and call of Aaliyah. I thought that would have been kind of fun, maybe. But at the same time, does anyone want that?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, all right, that's fine. And then, what else is in there? Yeah, well, we already talked about the beginning of the show, but the, what's his name again? Escobar.
Oh, yeah, Santos.
Santos, yes. Double last names there. But, yeah, Santos Escobar, that thing, that was fine. I don't understand why I'm supposed to think that Breezango's a credible threat to anything.
Oh.
But, okay. I did enjoy Johnny Curtis, or Fandango, breathless, like, trying to do the Fandango voice while he's out of breath. That did make me laugh. And his weird mustache is growing, too. So, but yeah, and then what other match was in there? Oh, we did get that.
There's just one last one to cover. It's Roderick Strong versus Dexter Lumis.
All right, so one, the best Dexter Lumis match I've seen as Dexter Lumis.
Yes.
But after a while, I was like, can we just get this done with? Like, I figured Roddy was winning. But then Dexter wins. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Let's move on. And okay. I don't know. It wasn't terrible, but I just didn't care.
Oh.
Like, okay. They're fighting.
Yeah, I'm
scared of drugs.
I guess I'm in for the fact that Dexter Lumis delivered a good match is a positive thing, but you always kind of wonder just because Roderick Strong, as much as I've occasionally made fun of him being Mr. Cardio during his ROH days, he's clearly been hitting it during his whole NXT tenure. So, you know, it helps when Roderick Strong is your opponent. I guess I will say that.
Yes. Oh, if you have a bad match with Roderick Strong, you're bad. Like, you can have average matches, but you can't have bad matches. And it's honestly, it's really too bad he's the size he is. Because could you imagine someone with that cardio, with that skill, being like 6'4"? Oh my god, the money he would be making.
It'd be insane. Even if he was, I don't even know if he needs to be 6'4". If he could have been 6 foot or 6'1", something like that, he probably would have added just enough size that he could have been in that, like, Shawn Michaels-y sized, you know, main event role.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think early on when he was in Ring of Honor, and he was in the TNA for a little bit, I think I just didn't take him seriously. Or maybe I just took him for granted, whatever. I don't know. I see how good he is. And his promos have gotten better, too.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, he's been very entertaining during the whole locked in the trunk stuff.
What a stupid, thing. It's so dumb. Well, Kyle O'Reilly's not around because I guess he has diabetes. So he's really not hanging around. He's like, he doesn't go to the performance center at all.
Oh, okay.
So he's in Florida, which is why he's in those vignettes.
Okay.
But I like the vignettes. It was weird for Undisputed Era because they're usually pretty serious. Like, they're tools. They're not comedy guys.
Right. There's comedy that comes from them being tools, but they're not comedy guys.
Yeah, like, they think they're cool and they're not. Like, Jersey Shore guys sort of feel. But so, like, so when Roderick looks at Kyle, he's like, Kyle? Has it been you the whole time? He's like, yes, Roddy, it has. So like, okay.
Yeah, so, I like, because, well, it was the first segment. Did Adam Cole need to pipe down Bobby Fish from pointing out that it was Kyle O'Reilly in the situation?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because he kept trying to turn and look at him. They kept trying to distract him. But, yeah, and then Fish being involved was nice. The match was fine, but I just didn't really care. So, because all we know about Dexter Lumis is he was stalking Velveteen Dream, or the new He Who Should Not Be Named. So, you know, I forgot all about this. The Johnny Gargano, Isaiah Swerve Scott thing. I'm like, does Johnny Gargano not like black people? Because he has a problem with Keith Lee. He had a problem with Velveteen Dream, and I always had a problem with Isaiah Scott. Like, Johnny, hey, dude. And then if you want to go even further, what's Tommaso Ciampa's nickname? The Blackheart?
Oh, Blackheart.
So, hey, buddy, you may want to talk to someone backstage and be like, hey, he had a problem with Aleister Black. I forgot about that. So, yeah, he really needs to go and talk to somebody and be like, hey, yeah, you know what they call optics nowadays? Yeah, I'm getting some bad optics off of this. So, can I just fight... can I fight the Forgotten Sons for a while? And I know it'll make me babyface, but can I please just fight them? And then we can just get by all this? Well, how about you join them? You're not listening to what I'm saying. That's really not gonna help my place. So, no. But yeah, I just thought about that. Like, Aleister Black and...
Oh yeah, the Blackheart.
But it does make me sad though. Like, they dropped the whole Keith Lee Gargano thing after that match. Like, all the backstage, like breakfast or dinner with the Garganos and all that. I was enjoying that.
Hey, yeah, it would have been fun for that to be a little bit longer of a feud. The two of them.
I guess Mia and Candice could still go, but
Yeah.
But no, I liked NXT more because I liked the two women's matches more than I liked any two matches on Fyter Fest.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I thought that the wrestling was overall better on NXT, I guess, which is why I liked it. Because I did enjoy the strap match quite a bit.
man, I still don't get strap matches. Like, why? And in this case, it made sense to me because he would run, right?
Oh,
but
yeah.
But I mean is, why? Like, yeah. Okay, guys, we're in a sport or entertainment that's supposed to be put on, right? Yes. Okay, so we're going to give you a leather strap and you're really going to hit each other. I'm sorry, what? We're going to do what? Like, why? I guess back in the old days is how it was, but goddamn, man, that sounds... I mean, have you... Like, I got hit with a stick yesterday cutting the grass. It got caught in the mower and the blade shot out and smacked me on the arm. I've got a giant welt from that. And that was on accident. Now imagine these guys are purposely... You need... And I know you can gimmick straps, whatever, but... That's still gonna hurt like a motherfucker. I mean, and Roddy wasn't laying back.
No, I like that. That should be like an after every match of that kind of nature that the wrestlers just have to show everyone their wounds. Like, this is what happens when you do this stuff.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, that's kind of a lost art, anyways. I guess Cody did it.
Oh, yeah, I have seen people occasionally do it, but that strap match, it just seems... Oh, because Cody wasn't a strap match, wasn't he?
No, remember, he just got whipped.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I was thinking that AEW had a strap match for almost no reason recently, and I was trying to remember who was in it.
Yeah. Well, you're not wrong. It was for no reason. Because no one remembers it now.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's not brought up at all. It didn't stick in the annals of history like everyone said it was going to. So, yeah, it was just yet another thing AEW does. So, but now, next week we'll be curious. I mean, we got the main event. I'm guessing Gargano's going to fight Isaiah Scott next. I'm guessing that'll be next week now.
Oh, I would
think
so.
Throw that on there. What else is on next week?
I don't really know, honestly. Like, that's not something that I looked up before we got on here.
But yeah, so it's like, I know Fyter Fest has got, well, not the main event anymore, but they got the 8-man tag team match. Lance Archer and Joey Janela. Oh, they got that goofy Dark Order and Colt Cabana versus somebody.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that they're doing that tag match. Yeah.
Who are they taking on? I forget.
Someone somewhat... somewhat important.
Like, the team on the other side makes sense compared to the Dark Order and Colt Cabana, even though, you know, they're trying to recruit Colt Cabana, so... I'm trying to think of, like, a three-man team, but... And I guess Private Party versus Omega and Paige is next week as well. So...
I don't know. There are too many links, and they're not very good, to be honest with you. I've looked at a couple of them, so... And I can't remember shit off the top of my head. I'll figure out what it is on Wednesday.
Yeah. I figure we've been going for a while. So.
Yes, we have been. I am not drinking a beer, so I will not pimp that at the end of this show. I guess, depending upon when I post this, OPA might be up before it. It might be after it. I've recorded too many podcasts in the last 24 hours. So, I guess be on the lookout for OPA 169 with myself and Ken. That should be coming down the pike here sooner rather than later, I suppose.
Cool. Well, I know we'll do rewatch stuff next week. And then I am gone for 10 days. So... We're going to do another Fyter Fest American Bash. We're going to do it on Thursday next week. So,
okie dokie.
So, yeah. But for sure, we watch stuff will be next week. And, yeah, that's about it. And they're just a quick breaking news. FedEx asked the Washington Redskins to change their name.
Oh, is that why I saw that headline?
Yeah, and of course it's Daniel Snyder, so real quick, the process allows, they're going to do a thorough review of the team's name. Remember who this is. This process allows the team to take into account not only the proud tradition and history of the franchise, but also input from our alumni, organization, sponsors, the National Football League, local community, and the local community is proud to represent on and off the field. That's an oddly stated thing. Majority owner Daniel Snyder says. So in other words, no. There, nothing's going to come of this one. Because he doesn't care. Because they still sell out that game, that stadium. And the team sucks. It sucked for 20 years now. So he's doing shit.
Yeah. God bless anyone that's a Redskins fan. It's been since our childhood since they've been good.
And hey, how about never for the team I follow? So yeah, let's get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
Happy 4th, everybody.
Yep. So. Happy 4th, and rate us on any of the places where you may listen to us: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. All of the above. Do it. Night.